Welcome to episode 99 of Bike Club. 99 episodes.
This Whoa.
Is Eileen. I know.
Dun, dun, dun.
This is Eileen.
This is Stephanie.
This is Shannon.
Oh,
and
my
this is Josh.
Gosh. Oh, and Josh. I don't know why. Ooh. Sorry, I stepped
Thanks,
on you.
Eileen.
I'm so bad.
Sorry, I got so excited.
I just got excited by looking at the number 99 that I was like, what?
It's pretty
We need to have a party next week.
I feel like we do. Oh, my God. Well, let's see. This is Bike Club Show, where each week we sink our teeth into your favorite fantastic shows. And we have a big True Blood episode recap. Lynn is not here with us tonight. She's feeling under the weather. But she wrote us a little note about a scene that we'll probably talk about. And I'll leave it at that.
Oh, I can't wait to read it.
And you read it, Stephanie. Just a reminder, you can find us at bikeclubshow.com. You can also email us, bikeclubshow@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at bikeclubshow. And we're also on Facebook, facebook.com/bikeclubshow. We start each and every week with a wine selection of the week, but two of us are not drinking wine, but we're drinking. So, should we start with the wine? Let's start with the wine first. Shannon,
I got
you're actually
wine.
Drinking wine. There we go.
All right. So, going along with last week, I had a ménage à trois. I have another ménage à trois.
Sounds so sexy.
Rawr. It's labeled as a 2009 California red wine. I think you can get it for like $10 or something. I'm not really sure. And on the back it says it's a delightful blend based on three varietals, Zinfandel, Merlot, and Cabernet Sauvignon. Just opened it, so it hasn't had time to breathe or anything yet. And it's extremely fruity. Lots and lots and lots of berries. I tend to go for like the spicier ones, so I don't like this one as much as I would a spicier blend, but it's still pretty good because it's very smooth on the throat and it leaves a nice aftertaste. So I'll give it, I'm going to say 3.5 fangs.
Wow.
Right.
How much did you say it was again?
Oh. Oh, strong fang.
I'd say about $10.
Oh.
Are you
right
sure
there?
You aren't drinking whiskey?
Oh, goodness.
It went down the wrong pipe.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I'll look it up. I'll look it up real quick and let you know how much it costs.
Okay.
Yeah. But awesome. Go ahead. What are you guys drinking?
All right, Stephanie, I'm going to tag your it.
Speaking of whiskey, I am having a small batch of 10-year-old Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey with a big ice cube. And it's by Russell's Reserve. And I'll admit, I wanted to drink with Shannon because she had wine. I just poured myself whatever was in the kitchen. So my fiancé bought this. I won't get into it too much. But, you know, he's a real big fan of whiskeys and bourbons. And I really trust him to buy good ones. However, I don't drink it too much. And just took a sip right now, and it has bite. So, yeah.
Perfect.
It's a good one. It's like a lot of fangs. The fangs will fall out. I don't know. I feel like I shouldn't give it a fang count.
Yeah.
Well,
it's sort of like, I think, I'm thinking, like, who would be drinking our drinks? Like, Damon, you know, would be drinking our drinks.
Oh, he would.
Yeah. Doesn't he? Doesn't he have whiskey bourbon every once in a while? I mean, he's always asking for some sort of alcohol.
So you can rate it 1 to 5 Damons.
Oh. There you go. I like that.
Oh, I like a lot of Damons. How about 4 Damons?
Ooh.
Nice.
I just see him with his ring on and he's like in the den, you know, area with the fireplace and he's always pouring something. It's always booze.
I feel a little shy about my ice cube. I wonder if Damon uses ice cubes.
Mm.
That'd be a fun little trivia. Like, how does Damon take his whiskey down?
Yeah, let's find
That's
out.
That's awesome.
Hey, what are you drinking, Eileen?
I have Bullet Bourbon. Again, it's this Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey. Made from pure Kentucky limestone filtered water in the Bullet family tradition. I think this is a popular bourbon. Is Bullet Bourbon Frontier Whiskey. I don't really understand bourbon and whiskey separate, but my husband can tell me all about that, and I always forget what he says. But anyways, this is one of my, he is a big whiskey bourbon connoisseur as well. He likes the really older aged ones, and this one is kind of in the mid range, which is why I like it. It's not so heavy, and it has just enough of a bite, not probably as much as yours does, Stephanie, but just enough, you know, to kind of give me that edge. So I think this is one. I think this is one that Damon would drink when he's feeling good, you know, when he's not angry, when he doesn't need that hard bite. You know, he's just give me something smooth. And I think this is what he would be drinking. I'm trying to think of other characters. Like, forget the Cullen family. No. I guess you forget most of the vampires in True Blood because they just drink, you know, they're disgusting. Blood. Yeah, they think food
Spike
is disgusting.
Spike drinks lots of whiskey.
Yes.
Spike. Okay.
That's true. You
could probably drink this.
I guess you can kind of branch out to the human characters, too, you know, like... I don't know. I kind of see Sam might be drinking this or Alcide maybe, right?
Oh my God, I just thought of Alaric because he's always like pissed off and sulking in a bar.
Oh. Alaric, yeah.
But he's probably drinking bourbon too.
Well, and now, you know, Isabel is gone for good and Jenna's gone and whatnot. So, yeah, he might be drinking.
Now he's pretty much a daddy to...
To Jeremy. That's true. He's always at Mystic Grill drinking. You're right. And then Damon comes up or, you know, vice versa. He comes up. I don't know.
I don't, Alaric always drinks when he's, like, sulking for himself. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Anyway.
So we identify whiskeys and bourbons with the Vampire Diaries more than any other show.
Yeah. And don't forget Catherine. Catherine gets drunk when she's bored.
That's true. That's very
true.
Yeah,
she dances around and... She gets drunk and dances with herself.
Very, very true.
Pretty cute.
Okay, well, that is our alcohol selection of the week, I guess. We'll just say that. Thank you, Shannon, for having our wine.
Sure. And I found the price online. When I Googled it, it ranges from $7 to $10. So
okay.
That's about right.
Cool. Okay, without further ado, let's get into the news. Okay, a couple things I wanted to start off with, and I didn't mention this here that I'm about to type in.
Surprise story.
I don't think I talked about the second thing. But anyways, the first thing I wanted to mention, and Stephanie, I know you're the only one here that watches the show at all. Teen Wolf, I am caught up. I think I passed.
Funny that
I surpassed
I am not.
You.
I was so excited about it, and then you caught up, and then I've just been so busy. But tell me, like, how's it going?
Okay,
like, is it better?
Well, last time we talked, I said, did you get to the episode in the high school where they get locked in there? Because
yes, I did.
Okay.
And it was scary, and I was like, where's the comedy?
And it was good though, right? I felt like
your face. Allison was really good. She was like crying and like I believed her. I was like, wow, she's really into this dude. Like she doesn't want him to die.
Yes,
she's so in love. Yeah,
absolutely felt like that was a turning point to the series because I am okay with it now. There is still some sort of angsty this and that. I remember we talked about an article when it first aired from LA Times and they were sort of saying, you know, oh, it's just a wannabe show and. It's kind of reminding us a little of the Vampire Diaries, but doesn't have that real good sort of oomph or backing about it. And in a sense, I do still think it reminds me of the Vampire Diaries in somewhat of the style. But the mythology now, once you... Okay, you're going to find out who the Alpha is soon. That's very cool. It's sort of like the... It's sort of... That's not my bourbon.
Totally drunk.
It's sort of like once you find out a little bit more of the mythology, it kind of strays away from all the teen angsty. There's some still moments of like high school kind of stupidness, but and that's expected because it's called Teen Wolf. So if you're gonna watch this, you're gonna be handed that on a platter, you know, it's high school situations. But there's some stuff about Allison's family and you know the werehunters in her family. And then the Alpha that's looking for Scott, that kind of thing. You find out who that is and whatnot. It's really good. And the last episode was the prom episode. And, of course, things are going to go wrong with prom episode. And they do. I caught up over the weekend. I watched I couldn't sleep one night, and so had a lot of coffee during the day. And I'm like, well, I gotta catch up on Teen Wolf. There's nothing on right now. And I had three episodes. I literally was like playing games on my iPad and watching at the same time. I'm like, okay, not bad. Oh, okay. And then I watched this past Monday's episode. And I was like, okay, this is still okay. I'm not. Those first, maybe it's like the Vampire Diaries where some of the first three episodes or the two, three and four were like, ugh, I don't really like that. And then they turned a corner. I don't think this is as good as the Vampire Diaries or any of the other shows that we watch, but it's leveling out to be decent.
It's better than the Gates.
It might be better than the Gates a little bit. You know, I'm starting to like the Teen Wolf. I think I had a problem with him, but I really like, I think I like Allison quite a bit. I like her.
Me too.
She's strong. Wait till a little bit where she starts learning things. I'm just saying.
Oh, good. Yeah, so. I'm also really intrigued by the Hunter story, like her family history. And I don't know. Also, just as unrelated, she is in that movie, the new movie, Crazy Stupid Love.
Oh, yes, she is. She's like, she has a brief part. I saw that,
too. It's a cameo. She plays a hot girl in a bar, but definitely her. And I was very excited to see her. And, I just thought, wow, she's going to hook up with Ryan Gosling. Oh, my God. Anyway, but no, I'm looking forward to watching the rest of Teen Wolf. I'll be honest. I felt like I was being really positive about the series, but wasn't really sure where it was going to go. I got interested when you guys mentioned the scary episode 7, and I was like, okay, I got that far. And so I'm really looking forward to watching the rest of the series, but I don't know if I like it enough to make it a priority. I'm a few episodes behind. I'm not sure if I'll make time every week to watch it, but it is something that I will catch up on eventually.
Yeah, I think that's the right kind of way to look at it. Like, is it really a priority? I don't know.
No, like, most I'm of not going to plan around it.
Yeah, most of our shows are so much better. But I will just say I will give them some clout because I'm enjoying the mythology, the werewolf mythology. And that's really kind of what counts. If it's going to be some stupid teen comedy, I don't know that I'm going to really like it. But there's more. There's a lot of there's a more to it than that. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with the second season. But it's not in my DVR list. It's not a priority, but it is capturing it every week, so it hasn't been bumped. Okay, and then one more thing is, I think I've never mentioned that I finished the Vampire Academy series.
Oh, I'm so excited for you!
Finally.
Oh, the books. The book series,
I finished it months ago, but I keep forgetting to tell you guys, and I just wanted it. Just I was like, God, I need to update. And and I know that there is for Vampire Academy fans, the first chapter of the
Bloodlines.
Yeah, of Bloodlines, yeah. Which is the sort of spinoff from the Vampire Academy series, yep. Is available. So, have you read that already?
No, I saw it. I posted it on our Facebook page, but I haven't been able to read it myself. I kind of forgot, actually.
That's
but,
where I saw it. Yeah. And I haven't read it yet either, but,
yeah, I feel like I've had time for one thing per week and it's True Blood, but, I think the book comes out, pretty soon.
Yeah.
I think, end of this month. And, I did pre-order it though.
Oh, you did? Okay, cool. Mm-hmm.
So I look forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, this is about Sydney and Jill and Adrian.
The dude is Adrian. There was a big debate on who was on the cover, and I knew it was going to be Adrian because he's so disgruntled in the end of...
Boy, he was angry. Boy, that last scene where he just said it to Rose, I was like, whoa.
Well, she totally... She deserved it.
I know, she did.
He was used. He was used, and he deserves to have his angry time. So I guess he'll get it with Sydney and Bloodlines. So looking forward to it.
Yeah. So, but I will just say that I was very happy with the ending because that's who I wanted her to end up with and all that stuff. I really liked the last book quite a bit. Just because she traveled to so many places and finally, everybody knew the plan but her and. I thought Lyssa shined much more and had much more of a important role, I guess, in the whole thing.
I feel like Lyssa had like the biggest, one of the biggest transformations in the book. She became like a real grown up and a real like leader. So I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I did. I really love the series, and I kept meaning to say.
Do you think that you'll keep up with Bloodlines when it comes out?
We'll see. I want to. There's so many books to have to read. I know.
So many
but
books,
I want
so little time.
I know. But I do like that universe, so I would like to keep up with it. So I will say yes. I just don't know how fast I'll read it. But we'll see.
Okay. It'll be around forever.
Yeah, that's true. It took me, I mean, God, that book came out when, it came out in December, right? The last one, Last Sacrifice? Yeah, it did. And then I finally read it. I finally read it in June or something like that. Anyways. Okay, moving on to Twilight news. Stephanie, you have a bunch of, there's some new photos here in Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah, I just found this on.
I'm just looking now.
The Facebook page for Twilight, and they talked about how there was brand new photos on Entertainment Weekly. And you know, there's only a few. You're going to get to see a picture of them on their honeymoon. Cute. They're playing chess, and there's a picture of Bella, like, on the phone holding her stomach. She's probably talking to Billy, or, I mean, Charlie.
Charlie, yeah.
Talking about, like, oh, my God, I might be Briggers.
Oh, no, wait, no, you mean, wouldn't it be,
Carlisle?
Carlisle, it'd be Carlisle.
Oh, yes, yeah. Carlisle. Sorry, not her dad. Her dad would freak. but, yeah, they just spoke, Robert Pattinson is behind her. Edward's behind her. He just looks highly concerned.
That Edward look.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do.
Because he's in this like button down short sleeve shirt. And normally in other movies, he's like wearing this blazer and just very proper. We're seeing him very casual, I feel like, for the first time. And he looks so young.
Yeah.
He looks so young. Does.
Well, that's good because he's supposed to be 17, right?
Yeah, and then you know there is another cover of Entertainment Weekly, which may or may not be new. It says August 19th. Oh, so it is new. there's a photo of them in the water, and they're like hugging. And
Kristen looks good. Look at her eyes.
She's like smoldering. Camera off to the left, and. Robert Pattinson, he's wearing his wedding ring, so this is after they're married. So super cool. I do feel like his expression is a little weird, though. He's like,
I know.
He looks scared.
What's up with that?
I don't know. I feel like he's looking a little weird.
She looks more confident than him, but I guess that's part of the transformation.
Maybe he was in the middle of speaking.
Yeah.
It could be, but I don't know.
I guess it's part of the
balance. But yeah. I wonder what they're doing with his confidence here.
Yeah, because, well, Bella gets more confident as we move along in this book, so I don't know, maybe. Cool. And then I guess they have some favorite scenes.
Yes, I came across this article today. It was on the front
page. I wonder if he was just in the middle of speaking or something.
It could be. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like they could pull better stills of him.
I know, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was at a dinner party the other weekend. These girls had a 2011 calendar of Robert Pattinson.
Oh, really?
A picture every month. And it's just funny how many bad photos that they publish of him. Like, he has such bad photos, but he's so handsome that, like, people just eat it up. And I don't know. Well, good for him, I guess. apologies,
he's a looker.
Rob, if you're listening. I don't mean to offend. I'm saying that's a good thing.
Yeah.
He's a cute.
But anyway. So this article, the title of the article is Pattinson Ruined Bed During the Breaking Dawn Sex Scene. And for those of us who have read the book, you already know that he, you know, destroys that.
It's sort of, I guess, a sensational headline. He destroyed the bed. Yeah. Oh, my God. Was Rob like, mad during the set? You know, it's
or
like,
was
no.
he just like crazy hormonal
yeah,
or something.
Exactly.
For those of us who read the book, we already know this, but essentially it was an article about how their favorite scenes filming in the movie. And while Robert's is the part where he gets to bite through the pillows every single one, Bella's Kristen's was just essentially filming like the romantic part, like the wedding scenes and the honeymoon. So
you know, that's a very girl and guy answer for them to make.
Exactly.
The guy likes the sex scene, the girl likes the romantic scene. Go figure.
it was very cute. Yeah, she says that Bella, or Kristen Stewart, insists that their character's honeymoon scene pales in comparison to the long-awaited union between Bella and Edward. Oh. But then Robert says, I wanted to have it as a line as, I bit through all the pillows, every single one, and then he'd start crying. And he's just got this, like, funny sense of humor. But, yeah, I mean, not crazy news, but still, you know, it's getting me a little excited about, you know, the upcoming movie that's going to be here in less than 100 days, I heard.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's the weekend before Thanksgiving.
That's right. So.
Oh, man. Coming. Exciting. Okay, congrats to True Blood because they are finally now officially upped for another season 5. So super excited. We will get another True Blood season.
Of course.
I kind of knew that was going to happen, but
yeah, we're just waiting for the official announcement.
Yeah,
I knew it was going to come. Like during Comic Con, he was already talking about his season 5.
I know he was. He's like, you can see that in season 5. You know, when he was talking about Hooligans and, you know, Pam and Eric next year and stuff like that. So, yeah. So we kind of knew that. It's just, you know, this is the official word.
Right.
And then this week we had kind of a cool little shout out, right, Stephanie?
Yes, I was so excited to hear from at Janina on Twitter, who plays Luna on True Blood. And the reason why I guess you noticed their show is because our friend Eric, aka Fat Emo Kid, you know, tweeted a quote from one of our previous episodes.
Your quote.
I don't know. Maybe I was drinking and I said, hey, no, that poor kid, referring to Luna's daughter. I said, that poor kid, she's going to turn into My Little Pony. And I don't know. He tweeted that. And I was like, that's cool. And she tweeted this back. And I was so happy. So if you're listening, Janina, hi. And thanks for listening. And we love you.
I know. You know, what was I doing? I was, I was checking my Twitter right before watching a movie. I was going to see Rise of the Planet of the Apes, and which is a very good film. And I was just seeing the at replies. I'm like, what? And I, you know, I was like, oh, my God. And so after the movie, I came home like, I need to tweet her our link to our show and the episode where you did. And then I went and I, you know, I listened and I found where you said that. So I was like, okay, here, and go to 23 minutes and blah, blah seconds or whatever. So I tweeted that to her. I don't know. She never replied. Right. But I was like, we recap True Blood every week, you know, so.
Right. And, you know, Janina, I've since looked up her website. She's got a really, really cool personal site at janinagavankar.com. I apologize if I said her name wrong. But, you know, she's quite the social media.
She is.
Little mistress. Yeah, she's all over the place. And she's got so many, a really great following, really great website. Totally into, like, Twitter and Facebook. And I don't know. She posts, like, everything on her site. I love seeing, you know, old photos of her. She's actually a musician as well. She's got like whole like cool music video and everything. So.
Oh, really? So she sings?
Yeah, she's a decent singer. Like I was into her video. I was like, wow, she's really really pretty. And there's a picture of her also from The Gates, and she looks all badass. And yeah, I liked her on The Gates. Like. There were lots
yeah,
of
she was the. Was she a succubus? What was she?
No, she was the cop. She was a.
Right, but she had something. She had. We never found out what that was. Remember, she was connected to that box.
I wish I would have found out. you know, Janina, if you're listening, let us know. What were you? So anyway, cool. Yeah, I hope to. Yeah, keep this up. That's cool.
Okay, and then one more thing with regards to the Vampire Diaries I wanted to mention. I don't think we have it on here, but congrats to them because they won some Teen Choice Awards this weekend. Choice TV Show, Sci-Fi Fantasy, and I think Nina and Ian won some Surfboards too, and so did Kat Graham and Michael Trevino too. They also won. Now, Twilight won as well. And now, okay, the Teen Choice Awards. I have to talk about this a little bit because I've watched. I didn't watch this year. I've watched in past, and I've seen, you know, Twilight Wind so many times, you know, since, you know, we were kind of, since we've been doing bike club shows, like, oh, well, we should, you know, check out Teen Choice Awards, whatever. And they always win. You know, Rob always wins, the cast always wins. Okay, so this year, Taylor won. He won, I'm trying to look up the list here, Taylor, like, best sci-fi something, you know, movie, blah, 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 werewolf. Whatever he would win. Oh, bet choice movie actor sci-fi fantasy, Taylor Lautner, The Twilight Saga Eclipse. Usually, Rob wins that, you know? But instead, he won choice movie actor drama Robert Pattinson, Water for Elephants. Okay, so you can get them both on the show. And I swear, I have never seen this category on this show, but apparently they had choice vampire. So Rob wins that one. I'm like, okay, sometimes I have to say when I look at these
they're making awards, up awards,
they're totally making them up so that the actors will come to the show. Yeah. Right? I mean,
it sounds like it.
Nice tactic, though.
I was a little, really? Choice vampire? You never had that before. A choice web star. So I don't even think that was something. And so they get Rebecca Black on the show. So they're just making it up as they go along. It's just kind of confusing, but whatever. It's just a, whatever. It's just a award show, but I'm just kind of like,
is not
really
happy about this.
you made okay, so Taylor wins this year, so you don't really need Rob, and I guess he won the drama actor, but you know, let's get him up there some more, you know, so let's make sure we get Rob on TV as much as possible for ratings. So that's kind of what I think about that. But congratulations to the Vampire Diaries too for winning. I was very excited that they won, because I don't think they won last year.
I was kind of rooting for Catherine to win Choice Vampire. I follow Nina Dobrev on Twitter, and you know, she was campaigning for it, and I was like, you know what? She did a really good job. I mean,
she
especially
did.
From two characters, and I don't know. I was rooting for her. But
well, Rob is almost done with this category. They've got one more year, you know, and then we won't have to, you can't vote for Twilight anymore. So maybe she'll win after that, right?
He's got enough surfboards.
That's what I
think. They're good. They have enough surfboards.
That's totally what I think. All right. Well, without further ado, let's go ahead and get into our recap of True Blood Season 4, Episode 7, Cold Gray Light of Dawn.
When you came in, the air went. And every shadow filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through, I wanna do bad things with you.
All right. Should we start with what I am really concerned with? Or do you guys care?
What are you concerned with?
I am very concerned that there is a certain character we may not see.
Jessica!
I'm concerned about that too.
Okay, let's just get the. I'm just sorry. Let's start with the end.
Oh my
Josh, God. How are you feeling about this? This is your girl. You're very, you know, pro Jessica.
Yeah,
do you think
I will be.
This is a ruse. I'm looking at the previews for next week, and I'm like, okay, she's not in them. And then, you know, Bill is talking about a freaking grave. And then if you go to Baby Vamp, what is she talking about?
Yeah,
on her?
I went there too right after the episode. They definitely definitely put something there that's like, you know, I feel like something really big and life-changing is around the corner.
And then you see all the comments are like, please don't tell me you're dead, Jessica. I'm like, oh my God. So
I will be devastated if they kill her. I am hoping that what's going to happen is that she's, you know, she's going to be, she's obviously exposed to the sun because she opened the door fully at the very end of the episode. But I'm hoping that she's starting to burn, but that Jason has struggled with, you know, the guard, because we hear like a gunshot go off.
Yeah.
I'm imagining is that he has some gun wound, you know, to some part of him, but he's able to like tackle her and throw her back into the house. Okay. Although he's not as strong as her, so she could and push him off and
get
back into the
but
sun.
But if she's burning, you know, maybe that'll be like, I don't know, a way for her to be a little bit weaker. I don't know. Okay, what do you guys think, Stephanie and Shannon?
Well, I asked our Facebook viewers what they thought, or yeah, Facebook listeners what they thought, like if they were scared that Jessica was going to be written off or, you know, meet the true death. And a lot of people seem to think that it's going to be hype. We don't see her in the next episode preview. So I was like all worried. I was like, oh, God. But I guess that's what they're trying to do. I can't imagine that they would get rid of Jessica right now, especially with what's going on with Jason. And so,
right. The love triangle is just starting, you know.
Yeah, I could not imagine them getting rid of her. And this is a testament to her character. You know, the writers have made this character so lovable. Like, we all just, you know, she's not a perfect character, but people love Jessica.
Huge part of the show.
And so I couldn't imagine they'd get rid of her. But
I'm
scared.
To me, that, you know, if she goes away, it just ruins the purpose of Bill at this point. Because Bill is just, I forget him and Sookie anymore. That's it. But he is her maker, and they have a relationship, and they trust each other, and he wants that fatherly role, you know, with her. And I love those scenes with the two of them. Even when they were chained up and they were talking to each other, kind of,
Said something to him about how she felt more connected to him than she did in her past life with her real father.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, I really hope they don't get rid of her. I don't think they will either, but I'm insanely curious about how they're going to make her live.
I know.
Jason got knocked down by that guard. The guard's like pointing
at We don't know because we saw them struggle, and then it didn't cut back to him. So that's my hope.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if he's going to escape and jump at her like you said, Josh, or if Bill's going to free himself somehow. Like, what's going on?
Bill wants to go into the sun, too.
I know. I mean, he's in. He's
changed off.
He's possessed. Yeah, and thank God Jess was like, nah. Right.
Oh, man, that look that she gave him. Oh, that gave me chills when she just looked at him for a second and she went right up the stairs.
And I thought Bill was going to tell her, as your maker, I command you to get back in here, you know.
I know they set it up for him to be doing that, and then
and then it made sense though, because he's also possessed, right? So he wants to go out to the sun.
Okay, before we go any further though, I just wanted to ask you guys, have you read the latest Baby Vant Jessica blog?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Actually, I realize now it's dated August 7th, and she's like, something's big's gonna happen. But also, have you read the True Blood Twitter, where they're like, the word of the day is resurrection, you know? I wonder if they're they're talking about resurrection on their Twitter, and I was like,
it seems to be
that
I'm forgetting
Marnie,
the name, the witch's Antonia's name for what she wants to do to all the vampires by bringing them into the sun.
Right. Remember that guy that Bill killed at the beginning of the episode? He's like, what is this? And he says, la resurrección, you know?
Yeah.
And he was like, no. And that's when he was like, everybody needs to chain themselves in silver. And all his, you know, cohorts are like, what? That's painful. What are you talking about? Why would we do that?
Right. Because the resurrection in the apocalypse is everyone coming, being bodily, coming out of their graves and ascending to heaven. So that's what she's meaning by resurrection.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was worried about Jessica, and I was like, oh, is this connected?
I know. Okay. So
it's probably not connected to her.
Okay. I just needed to talk about that. Cause it was like, there's another character on another show that I know is probably not going to die, but is similarly named.
And you were like, it's going to happen in two.
I'm like, why? Okay, do you guys watch Breaking Bad?
Yes.
You know, Jesse? Okay, so Jesse, Jessica, they're both kind of looking like they're going to say goodbye.
I could talk for hours about Breaking Bad.
That's why. So I'm just like, these are two of my favorite characters. And please, if next week, which I feel like in Breaking Bad, that's not going to happen for sure. But I have less of that feeling on True Blood because it's much more of an ensemble cast. You know, if both of them went, I would cry next week. I'd be like, no. Can you believe my characters would be gone? But back to Jessica.
Sorry. Side note. I don't think Jesse's going to die. And if he does, I'm going to lose interest in
a big part of the show. Yeah, no, anyway, I agree. I mean, that's the one that I'm like 20% think that that would happen. But that's, he can't go. He's like
50%. Jesse and Jessica.
Did you see what I mean?
On your team. Yeah.
I'm like, why are they similarly named? Why are they seemingly both going to their death? This is weird. But anyways, Jessica. Okay, so yes, I'm glad we all went to the blog and we read her post. And I was like, it was all cryptic. I was like, why is this so cryptic? And I went back and I slow-mo'd the previews because I was like, wait, she's got to be in a frame here, right?
None
whatsoever.
Oh, they're killing me, man. Like, I was looking for her. Because previews normally give stuff away like that, but man, they're being very tight.
Yes, they were very
Shane so hard.
It's like, no. Okay, let's go back to the top. So at the beginning of the episode, Marnie is got a Luis down and, is beginning her sort of ascent to... Well, not Marnie, I should say Antonia has embodied Marnie completely and has begun, you know, sort of her plans in order to kind of like kill all the vampires. So Luis is, tries to shoot Bill and Bill's just like, whatever. And finds out, you know, whatever, I'm the king. Tell me what it is about. And basically, you know, finds out, oh, okay. So then he has that big plan that I mentioned that, you know, all the vampires mischain themselves because, you know, you're going to be possessed and, you know, she wants you to walk to the light, to the sun, which is, you know, pretty, pretty scary.
Boy, was he right, though.
I know.
Like, a lot of the vampires are like, what are you talking about, really? And Bill knew what he was talking about because it came true. He even delivered.
He did deliver. He did, yeah.
To Mr. Eric. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I mean... Sookie and should we just talk about Sookie and Eric right now?
Okay. Oh God.
Okay, that was over the top for me.
Okay.
It was like, I mean, the that they forgot their clothes and wandered like naked all the way back to the woods and then tumbled into the house. I was like, come on, that was too cheesy for me. So
it was hard for me, and
unfortunately, that then made it hard for me to take, you know, Sookie's total infatuation with him as seriously as because it's I don't know, I just don't like her. I didn't like her. I found it totally believable last episode, but this episode it felt too much like she was like, oh Eric, you know, and that's all she was doing most of the episode, and oh Eric, I'm gonna save you, and it felt to me like Sookie like would have had that wild night of passion with Eric, but then after it, that she would have at least had some, you know, like, oh my God, what am I doing? Like, not that she would reject him or throw him out of the house or anything, but not that she would just, I mean, she seems like completely seriously devoted to him at this point. Although she did say, I don't know what I would do if you got your memory back. So obviously she's that much aware that, you know, it is totally this new Eric that she's fallen for. But so, yeah, but that scene, I mean, if they had gone back to the, I don't know, it was just so.
It was really porno, right?
Yeah.
It was cheesy,
it was
though.
Borderline.
It was, yeah, I didn't mind the explicit list at all. It was just that it was too cheesy. It like totally broke me out of the show. I was suddenly totally aware of like, I'm watching a cheesy sex scene.
I think that, you know, Lynn, she's sick right now.
Oh,
but
yeah, read her message.
She felt similar to you. She said, and I quote, as much as I love Alex Skarsgård, his making love, quote unquote, scene montage with Sookie was a bit too much for me. I had to look away. Yes, I looked away from his beautiful body. Oh my God, I was just bawling, like reading that from Lynn, because she's probably like the biggest Alex Skarsgård.
I know. She, you know,
she was just like,
oh, so we know if it was too cheesy for Lynn, it was so cheesy that it made Lynn turn away from
Alex, naked Alex.
Naked Alex, we know something was wrong. Yeah.
That's very true. Very, very true.
I gotta agree. For me, like, yes, it was cheesy. I'm easily entertained, so I didn't really hate on it too much, but at the same time, it's not like I was not like turned on or anything.
I know.
I wasn't either.
I know. Like, yeah, it was like funny. We get it. They're after each other.
I felt like the way they did it the previous episode, which was also explicit and near pornographic, still really worked. Like that was a big scene, you know, for Sookie to finally sleep with Eric. And I felt like if they had left it at that, that would have been great. It didn't need to have this extended epilogue at the beginning of this episode.
Well, and then you got Alcide worried about Sookie, and Debbie was actually nice enough to be like, all right, let's go back out there. And then, you know, to her, you know, benefit, they find them in the grass.
He's like, you know,
for a moment, I was like, okay, props to Debbie for saying, okay, let's go out. We can spare 10 minutes and go and try to find her.
That's true. That was big of her.
But and then they had that moment when they were sleeping together in the bed, Alcide and Debbie, and I was just like, come on, Debbie, you're being like a total pansy here.
Oh, she's so out here. So
crazy. My boyfriend was like, okay, she's crazy. And I was like, yeah.
But it's true. She is crazy.
Well, right now, though, like he affirmed with her that, you know, he's like, I'm worried about her. She's my friend. But, you know, there's only, as far as, you know, loving girls, you're the only one I want. And I thought, I was like,
I don't know. But that look on his face when he saw.
He didn't say no. Yeah.
What he saw.
I mean, I think there was some truth to what. I don't think she was completely. Mm-hmm. Paranoid, because exactly, it affected him to see her.
Oh, but let me tell you, like, jealousy will drive a woman insane. Well, so good luck, Debbie. Uh-oh.
Foreshadowing.
Good luck to Debbie. Okay, I don't even know where we are anymore. Eric and Sookie. Oh Lord.
What else is there to talk about?
I know. What else is there to talk about? Well, let's talk a little. Let's go back to Alcide and Debbie. Now, they go to their little ritual, you know.
They're joining a new pack.
They're joining a new pack, and you could just tell Alcide is just not into it. He's just doing it for Debbie. He's being, you know, he's doing it right and just kind of being the good boyfriend and joining a pack. That, you know, they moved to this new place. But you can tell his heart's not into it. He doesn't feel right. At least it seems like it doesn't feel right to him, right? And
Debbie is totally into it. Like, did you see that huge smile on her face?
Yeah.
Ugh. Creep me out.
Yeah. I don't know what. Do you think that she has an ulterior motive for joining his pack, or is it really just because she just needs community as an addict?
I think it's the latter.
Yeah,
I think so too.
That was so much of her life when she was being the wild. Mm-hmm. You know, wild Debbie, that she needs some part of that still.
That's true. Okay, good.
I guess really Alcide is just distracted and worried about Sookie the entire time, but you know, more so than this pack. But I'm, you know, I don't know. I'm not feeling this pack. I'm a little kind of like, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of.
Yeah, that long hair guy who's trying to recruit
them. Dude, it's shady. That's some shady business.
I don't know his name, but I don't trust him.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I know who he is.
Yeah? Oh, based on the books?
I don't know if we know based on the preview that we saw at Comic-Con.
Oh, really?
So I think I'm not going to mention it.
Okay.
Ooh, you know, I remember now. My little pony.
I'll type it in.
Oh, that guy. Right? Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Sorry, I gave a hint with the My Little Pony.
I agree. Yes. No, I agree that too. Now, okay. Shannon, you are reading Club Dead right now, and you said you had a quote you wanted to read from Alcide since we're talking about him.
Yeah, I'm about halfway through Club Dead. I was luckily able to read like half of it on my way to DEF CON over the weekend. And there was a quote where Sookie says, So if you bite someone, they won't turn into a werewolf. And then Alcide says, that's when you get your wolf man. Like the ones in the movies, they die pretty quick, poor people. And that's not passed along if they engender children in their human form. If it's when they're in their altered form, the baby is miscarried. And then he says, but there's that element of the supernatural, too, just like with vampires. The tie-in of genetics and the supernatural element, that's what no one seems to understand. We just can't tell the world we exist like the vampires did, blah, 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 blah.
Okay. Okay, go back to the engender. Okay, I'm not quite sure I understand.
So he basically says, if they have babies, or do it, you know, in their human form, and they engender children. Their children don't get the were genetics, right. But if they're in their altered form, the baby is miscarried.
Oh.
Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
Yeah, I was like, oh wow, that is so.
Are you reading this on your Kindle?
So they can't have babies.
My iPad. Wait.
Yeah, but are you reading it on the Kindle?
No, it's the iPad iBook app. It's page, let's see.
I was going to say, can you highlight it and share it on Kindle?
I'm going to have to read that again. Wait, so if they're, sorry. To go
I know, it's kind of confusing.
So
right?
If they do it when they're in their human form, then they can't produce a werebaby, right?
Right. Yes.
And if they're doing it in their turned form, they'll just miscarry. So that means.
Yeah. Exactly.
How does that work then? How do they have babies? So either way, there's no baby. That doesn't make too much sense. I mean, it will when I read it.
Well, I guess they have to do it with a
full-fledged
human, like they did with Jason.
He said, if somebody gets bitten, Sookie asked, they won't turn into a werewolf? And he said, that's when you get your wolf man, like the ones in the movies. They die pretty quick, poor people. So
but Jason's,
if you get bitten, you turn into a wolf man, which I guess is different from a werewolf, but they die. Right. They end up dying pretty quickly.
Jason, no!
I know. I was like, oh, I wonder.
Well, I think the question is still whether he's going to turn. And I will be a little disappointed if he doesn't.
Yeah, I feel like they're teasing us at this point. Like, if they don't make him turn.
Yeah, there's been so much of that. It has to have some effect on him.
I mean, it's
in that whole, the whole, like, all the episodes building up to it, his whole plot thread has been wasted. Yeah.
Yeah.
Has to be something.
Well, if you guys want to read that part yourselves, it's in Club Dead, the third book, and it's in chapter 4. My ebook says page 79, but it might be different from whatever you guys are reading.
Okay. Yeah, I have it on Kindle.
Oh, that's such an interesting quote.
I'm sorry, what chapter again? What chapter?
Chapter 4.
Chapter 4. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I have the book digitally. I'll just kind of read chapter 4. Okay. Interesting. I gotta say, I'm gonna be really disappointed if we don't see him change.
Yeah, me too.
It's gotta happen. There's gotta be something.
They gotta do it.
I agree. I mean, his whole plot thread this season would be wasted pretty much so far.
And I wonder if he'll produce any werebabies because he did all those chicks.
Yeah, that's where I think it may not happen, you know? Yeah.
That would be the payoff instead. That would suck. Yeah, I'd be disappointed too.
That was a super stupid move on those ladies' parts.
Well, that's kind of what I'm thinking. Like, I don't think they really knew. You know, they're so desperate, you know, because they want to save their race.
Aw, man.
You want to see werebabies?
No, I want to see were Jason.
I thought you were saying he won't change. No, not he won't change, that the babies won't. Instead.
Like, that would be the payoff of his plot line.
Oh. No, I'm saying that the babies won't happen. That he will change.
I don't think they're going to happen. But, and if they did, I don't know. I mean, that would be the only tie-in to Hotshot because he's not there anymore. Crystal's crazy. I don't know. I don't really see a place for Hotshot anymore.
Well, unless he turns. Because then he's going to need some community to understand who he is. I mean, he's a different, he's a panther. He wouldn't be a were, a wolf, you know, or even a shifter. So he would need some kind of community. I don't know that I would want to be the,
you know, I don't think that they're just going to throw that storyline away. It'd be, because they're also, if they throw that storyline away, they're also throwing away Crystal's whole existence too. And that whole hotshot community buildup. So I'd say we should be patient and wait.
Yeah, for there's still a lot of there's still like five more left, I think.
That's it.
Really?
Seven. Wow. I think there's 12. So we just saw 7. So 5 more.
God, doesn't it seem like the season has been going by really fast?
It really does.
Nothing's happened yet. Like, no.
I feel the same way, Stephanie.
No, it's not. It's too early.
I'm just building.
Building up season 5. Okay.
Should we talk a little bit about Tara? Now, you know, Pam went after both of them, and, you know, thankfully the good people of Merlot's had all their iPhones. You know, iPhones out, and, you know, vampires can't get caught, you know, otherwise, you know, they're going to get in trouble if they get caught doing, you know, biting humans online. Well, you know, there's evidence online now. So, boy, Pam, okay, before we go to Tara, Pam is just gross. Isn't that disgusting?
And she looks like a skeleton.
The scene where she's getting her injections and all of that with the doctor. I was eating dinner around that time. Oh, my God. I was like, this is grosser than anybody dying that I've ever seen in a long time. And boy, does that really just stay with you. Her face, her rotting face, and like, oh, she looked, and I loved how they said she was a zombie. She's like, I'm not a zombie. She sure looked like it, though. I mean, she kind of is. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. That was just gross. But kudos to them, because I know that was their point, the crew and the director, whatever. Okay, so Tara, she's so angry. I just cannot see her ever trusting any vampire ever again. Mm-mm. Right?
Well, you know, if I was her, I wouldn't either. Well, she's been through so much.
Right. Well, that's pushed her into the circle of Antonia's circle. So, yeah.
I just love that she, you know, after she told her girlfriend to just drive and go, which was really heartbreaking, because I'm like, oh, come on, Tara. We want her to find love, too. Jeez.
Right.
But I'm really glad she didn't die, you know? And then she's walking on that road alone, and I'm like, what is she doing? Why didn't she just stay at Merlot's, you know, and kind of just sit in a booth, hang out, drink? I don't know. Lafayette's there. Oh, no, wait. Is he not there?
No, Lafayette is in Mexico still.
All right. So she's walking along that highway, and then Antonia shows up and, you know, it gives her the speech of like why you should join my circle, but I like her just kind of looking like, you know, she's some smart alecky things to her before, until she gets convinced, and when, you know, Antonia lets her feel and see what she had been through, just by the touch. So, what do you think? You think Tara is going to be, you know, a big leader for this circle of witches, you know?
Oh, gosh. Tara is going to be the new vampire hunter, it seems.
Oh. Yeah. It does seem like that.
That's my assumption.
And so by joining the witch cult, I guess, the circle, so I guess, you know, she's going to have some witch craft knowledge now moving forward, right?
Yeah, and I think it's going to work up her courage to a point where she's able to fight back.
And she must have some power too, like being related to Lafayette.
Mm-hmm.
And being at Lafayette is, you know, which we'll talk about later, he's such a powerful being. I'm not sure to call him maybe a medium, but, you know, Tara being related must have some sort of supernatural in her as well, whether she knows it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So she could be crazy powerful later on. Maybe.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. You know,
and will it totally destroy her relationship with Sookie?
Oh yeah,
probably based on like the previous episode of her finding Eric. She's super pissed.
Right.
Yeah, she definitely doesn't trust Sookie anymore. Mm-mm. What were you going to say, Josh?
Oh, yeah, I'm just saying it's getting harder and harder for them to find any common ground since mm-hmm. If she's going to become a vampire killer, then yeah.
Okay, let's go to Lafayette, and I guess, you know, Jesus's granddad? Yeah. Grandfather is basically just trying to train Lafayette, or, you know, just show him that he is a huge source of power.
Tough love, man.
He's a medium. I like how Lafayette was just like, well, you could have just fucking told me. That was so perfect.
I know.
Oh, you could have just said, friggin' said so, is what
yeah,
he said.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because that was, you know, that was really scary. You know, but I don't know, I guess if he's going to have the cojones to do it, you know, poor Jesus is, you know, the
Spanish.
Yeah, a little bit. Poor Jesus was going to be the bait, you know.
Yes. Spiritual bait.
Yep. Oh, goodness. So about that Tommy, he's still around. But thank God Sam and Luna figured it out, because I was like, this better not drag for another episode where Sam is like being told he's the, you know, a-hole everywhere. And he's just like, what's going on? I was working on my burned down, you know,
apartment
house.
Yeah.
So I'm really glad that he went over and talked to Luna, and they just kind of, you know. They just discovered
it
together, yeah, because I don't like it when things get dragged out like that. That is kind of obvious, you know, but...
I do have a question for you guys. Did anybody else feel bad for Tommy for, like, a split second?
No.
When he started, like... I felt bad for him when he was like, let me explain, and he started, like, crying, and Sam left the room. I felt bad for him for, like, a split second, and then I was like, no... No, you deserve it. No, I'm not going to forgive you.
Because, you know what the thing is? He was never going to confess.
Yes.
He was never going to confess, and so I don't feel bad for him when he felt remorse after being caught. And I was like, F him. I hope that, you know, he didn't come back this episode. I feel, like, ashamed that they even had to deal with this.
Somebody on Twitter had said, Sam, doesn't he learn? You know, like... This is how many times his brother does this, but at the same time, blood? Is it the blood bond? You know, like, that's his brother, so he feels somewhat. You know, I thought Sam was going to kill him, but I should have known better because Sam's a good guy. He had his moment back in the day when he killed somebody, but that's not him anymore. But when he was about to strangle him there, I kind of thought, I was like, oh, maybe. Oh, and then I was kind of disappointed he didn't. That's so horrible to say. Right? It's horrible to say
that's
that.
Okay.
But were you disappointed? You were disappointed, Stephanie, right?
No. No, I was not disappointed. Oh, that Tommy was,
you mean,
exiled?
Yeah. Were you? No. I bet that. Did you? I mean, I was kind of disappointed that he didn't. That Sam didn't just do it, but
No. I think Sam has enough class.
Yes,
he has class. So
that's what I mean.
I think I like the way that he did it. But you know, the thing is, like, with the thing about Sam, he said "F you" to Tommy so many times.
That's the
so
thing.
I don't really think I almost didn't believe him that this was the last straw. Like, I don't know if I believe it. Like, for me, it is, as a viewer. I'm like, oh, I'm so over Tommy, but. Like, for Sam, I've seen him forgive Tommy so many times, or have, like, a soft spot for Tommy so many times. Every time Tommy messes up, he still wants to help Tommy. So, I'm not sure if I believe it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Josh, did you feel sorry for Tommy at all?
Nope.
Oh, jeez.
Glad you guys are on the same page.
So, what do you think is going to happen, though? He can change into anybody. Tommy has this power now that I don't think he knows how to really harness, but...
I mean, that's the bad... I mean, Sam's really screwed anyway, because obviously Tommy's not just going to... He's not just going to leave, because the only power he has at this point is to imitate people he knows, like Sam, and take advantage of that. Mm-hmm. So there's got to be more of that coming down the pike of Tommy causing trouble. So
are you guys just tired of that though? Are you done? You guys are all done.
I mean, it's interesting.
Yeah,
it's interesting to be dealing with this with a skin shifter, but at the same time, I'm very done with Tommy. So yeah.
I don't know. I don't think we're gonna see the end of him yet. Boy, he's so hated.
I don't know where they're gonna go with that story yet. I mean, Sam already expressed. You know, he already said verbally, like, "Oh, you know, all you have to do is turn into me, and you have the bar. You have money."
Right. Exactly.
They already addressed the fact of what Tommy can do. Now, if Tommy goes and does that, it's kind of lame because it's like the viewer already expects it. You know. So I hope that there's some twist here that is going to keep us interested because I'm becoming very disinterested in Tommy.
Was he going to hurt Sam and, like, lock him up somewhere? And
well, I'm thinking what he could do instead of trying to take what Sam already possesses, he could go off and start doing crimes, like just, you know, robbing
Sam
corner stores and stuff. Like, or just doing... Yeah, just stealing money and stuff, but as Sam, right, and trying to pin petty crimes or even worse on Sam.
And there's no, you know, shifters are not out, so people don't know about shifters.
Right.
That's so lame. I would really dislike that storyline. Like,
wait, here's a question for you, Stephanie. If you could only kill one character, but you had to choose between Tommy and Uncle John.
I know who it is. I choose Tommy. I would kill off Tommy because, see, with Uncle John, at least he had some good intention, even though his actions were, like, pretty, you know, distasteful. I mean, the ultimate thing for him was to protect Elena, you know, so he had some overarching, like, good intention, even though he had to do bad things.
Okay, so he's he's kind of redeemed to you at this point.
Yes, yeah.
Okay,
yes.
Okay.
But, you know, I don't want him back, but yes. see, like, with Tommy, like, he doesn't have good intention, he does bad things, and it's just like, there's nothing likable about this character. Like, yes, you could feel bad for him that, you know, he's had a hard life, but even after the menaces of his life, his parents are gone, he's still doing bad things.
Right.
To, you know, the last family he has left. So no, I don't feel bad for him. I dislike him. I don't really have any compassion for him if something bad happens to him. And I don't feel bad that Sam has exiled him. So I choose Tommy.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. I agree.
Long answer, sorry.
Yeah.
All right.
And then one last storyline, I think, unless I forgot anything else, was I didn't realize Andy asked Holly out on a date, and just that weird scene, and you know he comes to Merlot's and gives her flowers, and then you know he's so messed up because of not having any V that he just loses it and leaves, and she's like, "Oh, okay."
I thought it was hilarious.
That was pretty amusing, yeah.
Especially how Holly was like checking her boobs before she went out to go see him, and Arlene was like, "Seriously?"
I think this is the first time that I felt bad for Andy because he's been such an ass for so long, you know, that I was like, "Ugh. Really? She's a nice girl and you're messing with her, you know?" So that was quite.
Oh, but we did get a glimpse of the that mysterious woman again in that scene as well.
Oh, that did. Was okay. So I didn't go back and rewatch, but I knew immediately I couldn't miss her this time around. So yeah, she was really creepy, and I think Lafayette, you know, of course, saw her as the medium.
Yeah, because he's a medium.
Mm-hmm.
What do we think? She's like telling that baby to hush, and I don't know what to think
about. And then was she speaking in, was it French? I can't remember. She sang in a foreign language or something, didn't she? I can't remember. It seems like there was some, I don't know. I was trying to remember what she actually said, or
I don't remember.
Maybe it was like French or something, like she was from New Orleans.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Yeah, if that was another connection to Renee somehow.
Yeah.
So.
Oh.
Yeah, I was wondering that too.
Interesting.
Because she's obviously interested in the baby.
Yes.
She keeps appearing to the baby and talking to the baby. But yeah, so.
Yeah, that was creepy. I don't know who she was or what she was trying to do other than making the child hush, like enough to touch him. Maybe she just wanted to put her hands on him for some reason. Yeah,
but why? Oh. I guess it was Creole, you guys. It was Creole.
Right. That's what I was trying to think of. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what to think of that at all. That's...
Well, we know Lafayette will be seeing more of her, so.
Oh, yeah.
It'll get unraveled that way, most to Lafayette's displeasure, but
yeah, of course. Okay, well, I think that wraps up our recap. Just wanted to read an email here from Melissa, who says, regarding fairy litters, love the show. Just a quick response regarding Alan Ball's comment on fairies having litters. Charlaine Harris actually does have a short story where Claude and Claudine, who most viewers have not met Claude, have another sister who is murdered. So maybe that is who the actress who played Claudine will play next. So I did not read the short story. Apologies.
Is it Claudette?
Oh, is that who died? Did you read that?
Somebody wrote on our Facebook page as well. That there was There's a third, I'm sorry, I think it is Claudette. It's Claudine, Claudette, and Claude, and yeah, so she could come back as the other one. But, you know, but even so, the fairy godmother in the story up until the end is Claudine. So,
yes,
that would be a departure.
Yes.
Not a big one, but,
yeah.
I hope Claudine comes back, though, or whoever she is.
Yeah, she needs a fairy godmother.
Yeah, that was a premature departure for her character.
So, okay. So, you know, again, foreshadowing what Alan Ball said at the panel that, you know, it seems like she's going to have, the fairies are coming back at some point. So,
eventually, it's already episode 7.
I know.
They haven't really.
They were at the beginning and then we haven't seen them again.
Just
whatever.
Let's just focus on.
The second half preview shows Sookie with her powers. So I don't know if after that they'll come back or.
Perhaps because they come back when she's in trouble for her, you know.
Yeah.
When she's in danger.
I mean, I think the point of the season is to kind of focus on the witches, right? So we're going to, you know, the fairies will be around. So I'm guessing we're going to get back to that eventually, whenever that is. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And then one other thing, Dragon Con is coming up, and Josh, man, you almost made me want to go, but there...
Go! You should go!
Oh, I know! You should totally go, Eileen! There's so many good panels, including Being Human.
Being Human is the one reason why I would want to go. I mean, because all three of the stars are going to be there. You know, I mean, the True Blood panel is Kristen Bauer, Charlaine Harris, which that would be really good, Joe Mangiello, Dennis O'Hare, Russell, I mean, how many people are going to be like, are you coming back? You know what I mean? He can't say anything. And Jim Parrick, who plays Hoyt. So that's going to be really cool. And Being Human, Sam Huntington, Megan Rath, and Sam Whitner, who play Josh, Sally, and Aiden. All three of them, the stars of the show, are going to be there, which I'm like,
For three panels.
No,
three,
four. Friday, four. Saturday, wow. Sunday, and Monday.
Jeez.
Wow. I'm like, and do you know how much information you could possibly get in all, if you go to all four, all four panels will be different. It won't be the same because basically they just take Q&A. So there's a moderator, there'll be some questions, and usually it's the same moderator for every panel. And then there's a different audience almost every single, I don't want to say different, but there's always different questions every panel. So the information you'll get there is going to be really, really cool.
See, I haven't seen the show at all, so it won't for me, but Eileen, you
have
go
2 weeks.
You get so much out of it.
You have 2 weeks to watch 11 or 12 episodes. I'm telling you, it's so good.
Eileen to go.
Yeah, I don't know. Too late. Too late for me. The Vampire Diaries, David Anders, who plays Uncle John. Sarah Canning, who plays Jenna, dead. And then Michael Trevino, who, okay, great. You know, he's alive. He's the werewolf, so...
That one was kind of disappointing, the lineup. I was like, okay, there's two characters who are pretty much off the show at this point.
I was hoping that maybe... last year they were supposed to have Paul Wesley and he backed out, but they only had the mayor who was dead at that point. So it was like, oh, okay. There was like literally like 20
people. Well, it's better than that. Yeah, that's definitely better than that.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, these two, whatever. At least Jenna has been on since the beginning. And then Michael Trevino's been on since the beginning. So that's much better. And then there's a bunch of other stuff that you highlighted, like Spotlight Vampires and, you know, various authors that are going to be there. And
there's a werewolf panel and a vampire panel.
Oh, my God. How fun. I don't even know who all of these people. I guess they're authors.
Yeah, I think and a lot so of them the, are authors on the other, yeah, the other panels. Yeah,
they're not actors.
Yeah, I recognize the Yarbo. Is that her name? And Laura Hamilton. Those are the names.
Oh,
I recognize.
Laurel Hamilton. Yeah, but I haven't read her books, yeah. So I don't know anything. You know, right. About it. That's okay. Well, I saw Rochelle Mead in a panel with Charlaine Harris, and I didn't know anything about it.
Right.
But I guess Charlaine will be there on Friday. Is she there on? Oh, she's there.
She's
Saturday.
In one of the author panels. Yeah.
Well, she's in both True Blood panels, Friday, Saturday, and she's on Sunday's panel. So she's in the True Blood panels the whole time. That'll be interesting. That'll be a good one for you to report at, Josh, because, you know, she's coming at it. She's the author, right? And there's no Alan Ball there to kind of, you know, answer
Shepherd,
to certain
which,
questions.
Which, right, right. That's true. Know?
So you got to ask my Claudine question now. What do you think about Claudine dying on the show?
Okay.
You got to ask Charlaine, you know?
But I haven't read the book, so.
That's okay. Just say, you know, Claudine was important. I'll write
some
it, I'll write it out.
Some people are devastated. I know some readers of the books are devastated by Claudine's sudden death. So
on
yeah.
the show. What do you think yeah, about that? Yeah. Okay. And see what she says. That'd be
all
right. Cool. Okay. Well, that wraps it up for this episode of Bike Club Show. Join us next week when we recap the next episode. And that is called Spell the Turn.
Called Jessica Live.
Yes.
Oh, yes. That is called Jessica Lives because we want her to be alive.
Exactly.
Spellbound. Exactly. It's called Spellbound. That's the eighth episode for True Blood, and that will be next week. So, all right. Until next time. Bye.
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 Bye.